Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, parents and politicians in Kerry are calling for a public inquiry after hundreds of young mental health patients were allegedly prescribed dangerously excessive amounts of medication over a four-year period. The HSE is due to publish a review later this week into the files of 1,500 children and young people who attended South Kerry Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services between 2016 and 2020. However, parents of those affected are already questioning the quality of this review after it emerged that there were no medical records for some of the children caught up in the scandal. Our reporter Barry Lenihan has more on this story, and just a warning that some listeners may find parts of this report distressing. Barry, can you tell us first what's the background to this story and what sparked the review?
Last April, the HSE launched an urgent review of the files of more than 1,500 children and teenagers who used their mental health services in South Kerry between 2016 and 2020, and it came on foot of allegations from a whistleblower who sparked fears that some patients of South Kerry Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, or CAMHS, were prescribed dangerously excessive amounts of multiple medications. In some cases, adult doses were allegedly given to children. There were also concerns over diagnostic practices and the keeping of medical records. Now, the 13-person review was led by Dr. Sean Maskey, a specialist in child and adolescent mental health based in London. It's due to be published later this week, but ahead of that, the HSE has already apologised to scores of young parents, young patients and their families for the substandard care they received from South Kerry CAMHS. These apologies came at in-person meetings in recent weeks, but parents and legal figures, they've been telling me how these meetings and apologies have also raised concerns over just how far this HSE review report will go later this week.
And you've mentioned, Barry, about how you've been speaking to some of those affected by this alleged scandal in South Kerry. This evening we're going to hear one story in particular.
Kate's daughter was recommended to attend South Kerry CAMHS in early 2020. She also had another medical condition which would ultimately complicate matters as well. In June 2020, Kate, her husband and young daughter had an appointment with a registrar at South Kerry CAMHS. Early in the appointment, the doctor diagnosed Kate's daughter with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, and he prescribed her the drug risperidone, an antipsychotic, a drug normally prescribed for schizophrenia. And Kate's been telling me more first about her daughter.
She's great. She's a lovely little girl, full of fun, and obviously has some issues that have brought us to having to go and seek help from CAMHS. But like before that, very engaging, just happy-go-lucky child. She's obviously had a difficult time. She has another medical condition, so I suppose she sees a lot of hospitals and things like that, which has been difficult for her, which I suppose was part of the reason that we ended up having to seek help from CAMHS in the first place, due to anxiety and a needle phobia. So we attended that first appointment with our daughter, both myself and my husband. He met with our child first off for a couple of minutes. She was not easy to separate from us. Myself and my husband then sat in with this doctor and the occupational therapist, and we gave the history as to what had been going on or what had brought us to this door. We were quite taken aback after about 20 or 30 minutes of taking a history, that he launched into this, just speaking about how our child was a bunch of symptoms, that he sees this all the time, and that it was very obvious what was wrong with her. And he just talked around without actually using any language, I suppose, of what he actually thought the diagnosis was. And eventually my husband had to stop and ask him, what do you actually think is wrong with her? He just came out and said, oh, it's so obvious, she has ADHD. He went on, he said, medication is absolutely the way to go. Promised us, you know, very forthright, and we are going to change your life. We are going to revolutionize your life and your child. You will get your child back.
This initial appointment, after half an hour, there was this promise that you would get your child back from the doctor in question and a clinical intervention straight away.
We didn't really know what to think at the time. I suppose we came home really kind of flummoxed, but also slightly, wow, was this, you know, were we finally going to get to the root of the problem? And, you know, was what he said true? You know, were we going to get the child that we had hoped back? You know, the child that you have, that's not actually your child, that's a bunch of symptoms. And to hear that, I suppose, is so stark you know, you're kind of thinking, right, God, he's so confident, he must really know what he's talking about. And as parents, we were really looking for answers, because I suppose we had knocked on a lot of doors at that point. So we attended for that appointment a week later. Again, it was a much quicker appointment this time. He did a lot of the talking. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to prescribe this medication. But what he did say when he was prescribing this medication to me was, don't look it up. So that was our start, I suppose, of our journey with risperidone.
Did the doctor explain the side effects of risperidone at that stage?
No. No, nothing was explained to us. It was just straight onto this medication to be followed up in 3 weeks to start her on the following medication. There was no investigations to be done.
It is a human reflex, if you will. If you're told not to look something up, you probably will.
We had confidence in this guy. You know, he was very, you know, confident in himself, I suppose. And we felt, right, you know, he actually wants to do something. So we felt, look, we've tried everything else. Why not this? And I suppose, obviously, we've had a lot of sleepless nights over that, given what's happened. Since, but yeah, I did look it up, and it is a scary medication. It's known as an antipsychotic, or what they call a neuroepileptic. It doesn't make for pretty reading, and the side effects, I suppose, again, like, none of that was explained to us.
So no explanation, Barry, over the potential impact of this medication. So Kate's daughter did go on to suffer severe side effects. What were they?
Kate's daughter was supposed to have another follow-up appointment within 3 weeks of being prescribed the medication for ADHD, but as the days, the weeks ticked by, the follow-up appointment never came. Eventually, Kate contacted South Kerry CAMHS and was told the doctor they'd be dealing with had left the service. So Kate's daughter was scheduled an appointment with another doctor in the service, and here, much to Kate's shock, this doctor revealed how there were no notes or medical records on the young girl's diagnosis for ADHD. The doctor said she'd very little to go on, but the dosage of risperidone was doubled and problems soon emerged.
We had a child who was no longer her usual bright, bubbly self. She was flat. Like, for a child, I suppose, that suffers and experiences anxiety and meltdowns, it certainly did help with that. But it also, I suppose, we felt it took her personality away. You know, she had always been bright, bit of fun, you know, the jokes, the all bit of the sparkle. And that's what I said. I think the sparkle in her eye was gone. That was very hard to see as well. Like, risperidone is known for increasing your appetite. Food then became a huge issue. Constantly hungry, cranky because she was constantly hungry. Couldn't get her out, you know, constantly snacking. And you could see then, like, the weight gain, you know, starting to kind of come on. My child was due her regular bloods. And at that point, we noted when her regular bloods were done that she had started to suffer from a condition called neutropenia. In layman's terms, it's basically a lowered immune system. Going back to school, and with COVID, her team that she was under for her other medical condition were no longer happy for her to be in school because of her risk of catching COVID. So we were advised to take her out of school until we had her bloods repeated and we could get a handle on what was going on. We ended up having to have 10 sets of bloods done. I suppose one of the reasons we were referred into the service was because our child had a needle phobia because of part of her other medical condition. She has to have regular injections. This is why we were here to be treated, and suddenly now here was her worst nightmare and our worst nightmare coming to pass. A child who was being confronted with the thing she feared most in the world on a far more regular basis, and suddenly in the middle of COVID, the worst time to be becoming immunosuppressed in the possibly the history of ever, is this is happening to her. She suffered a lot of trauma, unfortunately, because she was needle phobic. She would only let her bloods be taken from one hand in particular, and on one given day, again, and no fault with the people taking the bloods, unfortunately they split her vein, which you can imagine, or probably not, means massive bruising, pain. Like, I was taking her back to school with plasters on her, you know, sending a child in pain who's just had a really traumatic experience. It just unsettled her massively. Like, risperidone was supposed to be this medication that was supposed to revolutionize our lives and settle everything down, and now here it was actually causing far more stress and trauma than we'd ever anticipated. And like, even just having to explain to your young child, oh sorry, you know, those bloods didn't work, we're going to have to go back in and do it again tomorrow, it would nearly break you as a parent.
Ultimately, a third doctor decided Kate's daughter was on the wrong medication and should be taken off risperidone, but she suffered severe withdrawal symptoms.
When we went to withdraw the medication, as we were advised, our daughter started suffering from withdrawals, which resulted in meltdowns and self-harming. Not self-harming in the regular context that people would know, but during the course of these meltdowns, she started scratching herself, scratching her face, scratching her arm. Very, very distressing to watch your child. This had never been a feature of any of her behaviours before. You know, obviously we're with the mental health services for a reason. Meltdowns were a part of her lives, but never with self-hurting or self-harming.
After a look back, it was decided actually this medication shouldn't have been given to her to wean her off it, and that process was most traumatic.
Did what, as we were advised by this new consultant, to withdraw her in increments, but within a couple of days we could see an escalation in her behaviour, this hurting herself. He got back to me and I explained what was going on. He said we'll have no option but to put her back on it again until we can sort this out, and she'll need to probably go on another medication in conjunction with it. And as soon as we went back on it again, the bloods dipped and the whole situation started again, with the having to come out of school for another couple of days, and like it was very tight. As soon as we finished the risperidone in January, we hadn't a problem with her bloods again. It was the language that was used to us by this consultant, that just the wrong medication for her to be on.
Wow. Well, you mentioned earlier, Barry, that the HSE has been meeting some of the affected families in recent weeks. So what do we know about what's emerged at those meetings?
Now, Kate says she twigged something wasn't right about her daughter's care after initial reports in the Kerry's Eye and Irish Independent last spring. And in November, she was called to a meeting with HSE personnel from the Cork and Kerry region. Now, it's believed the HSE has in recent weeks apologised to over 200 young service users and their families for substandard care at South Kerry CAMHS. However, more than 200 young people could actually be caught up in this alleged scandal. According to the minutes of Kate's meeting with the HSE, which I've seen, the HSE confirmed how a review of the young girl's file had indicated there were deficits in the standard of her care. The review team found that in the case of Kate's daughter, there had been, quote, inappropriate prescribing of a neuroleptic drug, no confirmed ADHD diagnosis on file, medical notes were missing, and there was poor treatment quality due to inadequate monitoring. And the HSE apologised for this and the upset and distress caused. But Kate doesn't think the apology or the review went far enough.
There are no notes, there are no records, and when we actually subsequently applied for our records under Freedom of Information, even our current treating consultant, there were no notes from him. How can you do a review on something that there's literally no record of? How can you know what happened? How can you know without speaking to us? And nobody ever spoke to us, nobody ever picked up the phone and said, look, we're doing this review, we have your child's notes here in front of us, we're missing a lot of information, can you actually fill us in, what's happened here? And I suppose when it came to the apologies that the HSE have given recently, again, I felt they fell very short of, you know, it was the upset and distress that has been caused to you. I mean, this goes so far beyond upset and distress. Like, my daughter came to physical harm as a result of being on this medication, but that was never investigated. So I can't see how this review is actually going to see the full scope of what has happened, that this wasn't just limited to this one doctor, that it seemed to be endemic across the whole service. We had a 2.5 hour appointment in one case with one doctor, and the subsequent notes was a sticky note saying change to a particular medication. We've now been under 3 separate doctors in the course of a year, year and a half, and we've been given 3 separate diagnoses for our child, but they've nothing to go off of because there's no notes.
You received an apology from the HSE before Christmas. Tell me about that. What was said?
They gave a very formal apology, which, you know, covered what they had in the chart, I suppose, was what, you know, that the misprescription, the misdiagnosis, the lack of records, what we were told in the meeting, that there was up to 450 affected, and was the figure we were given on the day.
450?
That's the figure we were given of the 1500 review. 450 had been affected, and that they were meeting with people who had been moderately to severely affected. When we got the minutes of the meeting subsequently, a lot of that stuff was not mentioned. So obviously the things like the numbers, and that there were things that they said to us that they apologised for that were then not put in writing.
And that 450 figure from Kate's significant, as it means up to 1 in 3 children who engaged with this service over a 4-year period could have been impacted by alleged deficits in care. Now, there are no plans for redress at the moment, but the HSE is facing a raft of lawsuits over what allegedly happened. And Kate says a public inquiry is ultimately needed to understand how this happened in South Kerry, as the review undertaken by the HSE was far from comprehensive enough.
This is a children's service. These are children that have been affected. These are their lives, the lives of their families. These aren't adults. These weren't people who were able to make decisions for themselves. We, as their advocates, were making the best informed decisions we thought at the time, and now we all have to live with the consequences of that, and that's inherently difficult.
What do you think needs to happen to ensure we get to the bottom of what happened here?
I think a public inquiry, an independent public inquiry where it's not done in-house, where it's open and properly transparent, but where those involved and those who are affected are actually interviewed and asked for what has happened to them, with no redress as it stands at the moment. There's no comeback for them. It's just an apology to their parents or to some of the older children, to them themselves, and that's it at the moment. We're just left waiting for this report with no idea what's actually going to happen after this.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating and disheartening. Disheartening to think that you put your trust in a service with your child. I think there is no explaining it as a parent to know that you have gone to someone to help your child and in fact they've come to harm as a result of that. We're not medics, we're not doctors. You put your trust in these people to do the best for your children, and in this case that has not happened, and it is horrifying, and it's not going away anytime soon. There's no knowing how long the impact of this will last.
How is your daughter now?
Our daughter continues to have difficulties, unfortunately. I think it will live with me forever what has happened to her. There's no other word for it but trauma, I think, really.
And that is Kate in South Kerry sharing her and her daughter's story there, and they really have had such a difficult time of it. Barry, politically, what moves are underway this evening over the alleged care in South Kerry cams?
Independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray, he's to question Health Minister Stephen Donnelly in the Dáil this week on this issue, and he too wants an inquiry.
I have three real questions for government. First of all, how did this situation occur? How was it allowed to happen? Why were these children put in what I would call danger's way? And how did the whole situation happen? That's number one. Number two, what is being done to help these children? How have they been affected, impacted? And what is the actual result of that? And how is that all going to work? And number three, how can we restore confidence in the whole system of taking care of young children who have mental or any other type of issues that they need help and assistance with, and that they will never again be put in harm or in danger's way? I still want, on the record of the Dáil, these questions to be answered, if at all possible. When you lose the confidence of the public, sometimes the only way you can put that back in place again is by a public inquiry.
Any response from the HSE?
A spokesperson for Cork Kerry Community Healthcare confirmed how they've received Dr. Sean Maskey's final report into this issue and will publish it this week. But before the report is formally released, they will furnish it to the families and those affected before publishing it online. They also ask for the time and space to communicate directly with the young people affected, as they have been doing, they claim, on an ongoing basis since last April when the review process began, and they will not be making any further comment until the young people and families involved receive that final report.
Barry Lenehan, thank you very much for that. And Barry, we'll have more on this story tomorrow, including a legal figure who warns that this issue could extend beyond South Kerry.